الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد رسوله الأمجد أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكاره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, those listening to us via the live broadcast and especially our beloved youth, if we want to know the future of a nation, if we want to determine whether the future of a nation will be bleak and lamentable or whether it will be bright and promising, then all we need to do is to take a look at the current state of the youth of that nation. If you scan their desires, their trends, their values, and their aspirations, you will be able to come to a conclusion as to what the future holds for that nation. Because the youth are the architects of society. They mold and they shape the future. When you take a look at their character, when you take a look at their behavior, it demonstrates to you what will be the trends, the values, and the aspirations of the society to come. In other words, youth are like a mirror for a nation. Now, it's unfortunate if we need to do a bit of a study on the youth and specifically Muslim youth, we would find many who are suffering from an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. You would find those who lack confidence. They are wandering aimlessly through life without any purpose, without any objective. You would find those who are in a state of helplessness, hopelessness. They don't know where to turn next. They don't know what to do. Then you have those who are in a state of confusion when it comes to aspects of morality. Because they live in such a climate, they don't know what is acceptable anymore. They don't know what is not acceptable. These are just a few examples of the many challenges that the youth face. And if you've seen the poster, then the topic that has been given to me, how to tackle the challenges faced by the youth. For that, you need a few conventions, perhaps. So obviously, there are many aspects, there are many examples, there are many details, and we cannot go through all of them, nor do justice to many of them. So what I thought I'd do is I'd focus on that one aspect, which in my opinion, and I've heard this from many other scholars as well, is the greatest challenge that faces the youth. And perhaps by extension, it's one of the greatest challenges that faces the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's ask ourselves the question, what comes between that young man or that young woman? What comes between them and their understanding of their role? Many times we complain that today's youngsters don't know what they have to do. They don't know what is expected of them. They don't know what responsibility they are expected to carry. So what comes between them and their understanding? What comes between them and their fulfilling their role? It is none other than the fact that we have allowed our desires to dominate our lives. We have allowed our desires to take control of our lives. When we talk about desires or when we talk about nafs, then obviously you would get, you know, those desires which prompt you to do good, a desire to please Allah. And then you would have a desire to do something which would displease Allah. But for the purpose of this discussion, when I refer to a desire or when we refer to the nafs, we're talking about the prompting from within. We're talking about the desire from within to break a command of Allah and to earn the wrath and the displeasure of Allah. Now, if we look at the many vices, the many evils that youth are involved in, whether it be drugs, whether it be mixed, whether it be illicit relationships, apathy, laxity, laziness, disobedience to parents, all of this is intricately, intimately, it's linked, it's intertwined to the fact that we have allowed desires to dominate. Now, let me make one thing very clear from the onset. We're not saying that a person is expected not to sin or not to falter or not to cave in under the pressure of temptation from time to time. We're talking about allowing your desires to take full control of your life. In other words, you become enslaved to your desires. It's a critical difference between insan and the malaika, for example. Allah has created the malaika without any desires. Hence, there is no test before them. There is no challenge before them. And for that, they will not be rewarded. Even if they come to Jannah, they come to Jannah to serve us. But as far as insan is concerned, Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We've given you both the ability to do good as well as the ability to do evil. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That man, that woman who is able to dominate his nerves, able to suppress his desires, for most of the time, generally speaking, he will supersede even the malaika in rank. He will exceed and excel the malaika in rank. But that individual, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, who allows his nafs to dominate, to take control of him, who is only prompted by his desires, his only motivation in life is what desire of mine must I fulfill today, what enjoyment can I hanker after today. Then such a person, Allah describes him in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like animals. But then Allah goes one step further and says, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, nay, they are worse than animals. Because Allah has given you intellect, Allah has not given animals intellect. They mention, and this is an interesting point, one alim so beautifully explains that even a dog, which is generally a detested creature, even a dog, it will show a degree of submission, a degree of obedience to its master, simply because the master will throw the occasional bone in its direction. So because of one bone, that dog will see to the needs of the master. It wants to protect the master. But Allah, who has granted us that which we cannot even comprehend, which we cannot understand, let alone enumerate and remember, we break every command of Allah without it even breaking our conscience. Now very quickly, I've introduced to you what is the greatest challenge that faces the youth specifically and the ummah, every ummati by extension. Now, in order for you to successfully combat an enemy, in order for you to be able to defeat your enemy, and in this case it is desire, it is temptation, then you need to understand your enemy. You know, if you go into a cricket game, you don't know who the top batsmen are, you don't know who the bowlers are, then you're not going to be successful. You haven't identified your enemy irrespective of your capability. So just a few points for us to understand what we're up against. Scholars write that the nature of temptation, the nature of desires is such that at times it's a moment of enjoyment and a lifetime of regrets. One fleeting moment of enjoyment and a lifetime of disgrace and shame. Ask a drug addict, for the enjoyment of a few moments, he succumbed to temptation for a few seconds and he took the pill. A lifetime of disgrace, to the extent that his own mother would lift her hands and make dua that Allah take my son. I cannot deal with him anymore. He's brought so much disrepute to the family name. Allah take my son. On a lighter note, just to understand that, you know, how much trouble can come when you give in to temptation. One man went on a foreign business trip and he went to Italy and he got entangled with an Italian woman. He had an illicit relationship. So prior to him coming back home, a moment of weakness, a moment of temptation, he gave in. So the woman confides in him and she says, listen, I'm expecting. This man says, hey, this is a problem. You know, in South Africa, they don't like second wives. So he said, no, listen, let's make a deal. I don't know you. You don't know me. What has happened has happened. But I will take care of you. You know, he was an affluent man. And I'll take care of you. And I'll take the care of the child till the child is self-sufficient. So the woman says to him, that how will you know when I have given birth? So he said, no, just send me a postcard and write there spaghetti. You know, he was after all in Italy. So 9 months down the line, he comes home one day. His wife says, I've received a very strange postcard. I can't make sense of it. So immediately it clicked. So he said, bring that postcard. I'll make sense of it. So he reads it. And as he's reading it, she looks and she observes this look of shock and horror which is developing on his face. And a few moments later, he falls unconscious. So when he's revived, they ask him, what's written there? He says, spaghetti, 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 spaghetti. And it ends off by saying, don't forget to send extra sauce. So one moment of temptation, one moment you give in to a to disobedience. And whilst it's on a lighter note, but that is what happens. That is what happens. So temptation is such, you need to be on your guard for it every moment. You slip up once and it could lead to a lifetime of regret. That's the first point that we need to understand. The second point, we need to understand that there is no end when it comes to desires. Nowhere on the face of the planet will you find a man who says, everything is happening according to the way I want it to happen. Every desire of mine has been fulfilled. You won't find such a man. You won't find such a man up to the day of Qiyamah. Because it's such a thing, the more you give into it, the more it wants from you. It reminds me of another incident, again on a light-hearted note. This man, he was married for many years. And Allah had blessed him and his wife with two beautiful daughters. But they always had this desire, you see, desire, that we must have a son. So after a very lengthy period of time, his wife gave him the good news that I'm expecting. So naturally, his only hope and his only desire at that time was that he must be blessed with a son. Some 9 months down the line, he gets the call from the hospital. Your wife has given birth. Both mother and child are doing well. So he says, boy or girl? So the answer is boy. This man is ecstatic. The desire has been fulfilled. He races down to the hospital. Before he worries about the wife, he goes to the nursery. And when he comes there, he's shocked. You know, this is a very ugly looking boy. So now the thought crosses his mind. I have two beautiful daughters. What happened here? So he goes to his wife and he's furious. He says, listen, I fathered two beautiful daughters. Are you fooling around behind my back? She said, not this time.